By the way, I want to share with you, I don't know if you remember that there was a man who came and visited with us 3 weeks. He was from California, and he came every Sunday for 3 weeks. He's back in California, and he sent a letter, and he says, "As you know, I immensely enjoyed my brief time with you and your fellowship of believers at Cedar Fork Baptist Church. I wanted to leave a tithe in with the church. I didn't notice a collection plate, thus please accept this gift enclosed. Serving the Lord with you, Ted." And you know, we never know, and this is a great area for people that are traveling. And Pierre and I have thought about how we can more reach out to the motels and hotels and to encourage them to come on a Sunday. But if you have ideas, let us know, because there are people that are greatly affected, and we are blessed by their presence when they come visiting. I want to share with you a message this morning. It's called Newton's Third Law, God's Empowerment. We just read the scripture a few minutes ago, which is about the God's empowerment. And I want to talk a few minutes with you about that. First of all, Newton's third law states that when two bodies interact, they apply forces to one another that are equal in magnitude and opposite in direction. The third law is also known as the law of action and reaction. Recently, we have seen that principle at work in our lives. Most of you know that we're in the season of pollen, and it affects different people different ways. I don't know how you're affected, but I'm affected. My nose and eyes and water and the action of pollen does help for the pollination of the flowers and the plants, but it also affects us. More than that, a better illustration is a year ago, we saw the influx of the coronavirus in the United States, and this virus changed nearly everything. In the few short months when it began, our economy went from the best that it had been in 40 years, more people employed than in the history of our country, to a bottoming out within a few short months, and the economy nearly busted. We saw restaurants close, businesses close. We saw people go from shopping at the mall to shopping with Amazon. Did anybody in here do that? Yeah, I did. Everything we had back in the spring of last year was ordered through Amazon. And that's why they increased so many vans in our area. But it transformed. There were no athletic events, or you couldn't get to them. Even today, when the athletic events occur, you can't go to them. Well, the Easter egg hunt last year, all of those went to bust. Imagine the proms that the kids missed, the graduations they missed. Graduation celebrations, that can never be brought back. Those kids that were a part of that really suffered a great deal. Also, kids were not in school, and that not being in school really affected our kids. I personally think we've got some years of struggle ahead of us because of that. When a man marries a woman, all things change. Believe me. 60-something years, there was some big changes. Right? I just want to get a nod on that. That's good. When you have a newborn child in the house, things change. Not only for the parents, but for the grandparents. I know. I can tell you. When a child grows up, all things begin to change. When you get in a car wreck, things change. When you go to college, that particular event, everything changes for that person. On and on, the things that happen in our lives change us completely. Sometimes it changes our whole direction we were going in one direction and now we're going in another. That was especially true with COVID. The law of action and reaction is a law, not a thought or a hypothesis or a hyperbole. It is truth. It's a law. Now, God created all the laws. Man only discovers them. I love to hear somebody say, I believe in science, not God. God created the science, sir. You can discover the science, but you don't create it. It had to be created by God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Newton's law, the third law, points to God. Our scripture today speaks of this law. You see, man is born into this world a sinner, a beautiful creation of God, but with his own will and lust for self-indulgence and dominating of his life. Man realizes he has a problem. It is uncomfortable for him in his sin, and he struggles with that. Many people come seek God through religion to take care of that uncomfortableness with their sin. Others try to legalize their sin so that they don't feel bad about it, because they think you make them feel guilty, not God, but it's God putting the guilt trip on them. God's conscience that's leading them. You see, the world tempts mankind to sin. The world tempts man. The more the world and its temptations are experienced, the more men walk away from God. His religion is to try to get where God is, or to try to make God happy with him. That's man's religion. We have no religion here. We are religious, but this Christianity is a God-given walk with God. Religion is man's attempt to try to get close to God by his sacrificial living or his practices. Our sacrifice was done when we came to Jesus. We surrendered our heart and life to him. Coming to God to know his glory in verse 16 of the scriptures, it says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, and depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth understanding, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. How can we be filled with the glory of God? How can we be filled with the fullness of God? It is through the Holy Spirit. Now, I have a little, and I'm going to try to do this to where everyone can see this. Experiment, you did this in the fourth grade. So this is a fourth grade experiment, okay? You remember when you took different colors and you mixed them and you saw the different hues and stuff like that? Now what I want to do is show you, this is blue, I've already mixed it in the experiment, you got to show how you mix it. This is blue. have to try to show you this. And I don't think you're going to see it well, but you got yellow in this bottom. When you put the blue in the yellow, it turns to green. See that? Okay. Now, the experiment was meant for this reason. As long as the Holy Spirit is dominating our life, to use the colors, we become emerald green like God. The yellow being the Holy Spirit, the emerald green like God. But when we come out from under the influence of the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit does not control us that much, then we turn back to the blue. In essence, we are either being controlled by the world and our flesh, or we're being dominated by the Holy Spirit, one or the other. There's a scripture verse. It's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and it is not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of your works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God hath ordained that we should work in them. The things that we're called to do, the things that we do in the power of the Holy Spirit. If we do things outside of the Holy Spirit, they're not ordained of God. Boom, period. Do we understand that? The Holy Spirit's the one that leads us into godly works. Outside of the Holy Spirit, we do works. Sometimes we give benevolently, but it's not the work of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to share with you some illustrations of that in just a minute. But in Ephesians 5:18, it says, do not be drunk with wine, whereas is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, why should we be filled with the Holy Spirit? Because when we're not filled with the Holy Spirit, we turn back blue. Let me put it this way. We leak. We leak. We can come to church. We can come to at home. We can get before the Lord. We can have a great spiritual experience. Or we can come before some other people and God can work through us. But we leak. Why? Because the world around us presses us. And we leak the Holy Spirit. You say, how do we leak the Holy Spirit? Well, the whole concept of this is that the Holy Spirit only moves into those areas we allow him to move into. And when we allow him, he fills us. And when he fills us, we become more godly. And the things we do are godly things. Simple. But the more we're in the world, the more we watch the world, the more we listen to the world, the less godly we become. Yesterday, my wife and I sat there talking about a family that we had concerns about. And they sit all day long watching television, or most of the day. You can tell it when you go in their house. You can tell it because they don't do anything else, not much. And the world, if you sit in front of that, and a man used to call it boob tube, is for people that want to be boobs, just idiots. If you sit in front of that idiot box long enough, you become an idiot. I'm sorry. You become a worldly idiot. Now, I say this to say, the greatest way that you can become like the world is to sit in front of someone and let them preach to you the world's concepts. And that's mainly through the YouTube. By the way, we have a granddaughter, and if she could, she's only two, but I swan, she can do more on the cell phone than we can do. She can go in there and do this stuff and flipping pages and everything else. But we can only allow a short period of time a day for her to look at that thing, because she'll look at it all day long. And we know that it's programming her. We want God to program her and us to program her, not that. Now, I say that to say, whenever I'm in the world, whenever I'm doing things in the world, I want you to understand that this process of the world takes away the Holy Spirit's sovereignty in our life. Be ye filled with the Holy Spirit is a constant. As a matter of fact, if you check the Greek term, it means constantly filled, which means we leak and we need to refill. We need to put the cup down, back down in the water so that we are once again filled with the Holy Spirit. What was the outcome of the action of the Holy Spirit on the disciples? Do you remember? Do you remember? It said this. When they stood there, in awe and reverence. And it was like cloven tongues of fire that burned when the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. The first thing that happens when the Holy Spirit begins to work in us in a sovereign way, in a complete way, listen, this is what happens. We have a different view of God. We have a sovereign and an awe-inspiring view of God. There is such a power of God that comes in us. We actually weep because we can't believe the majesty of God. So the majesty, the glory of God is seen. We are filled with awe and respect. Then number two, we become bold in our witness. What did the disciples do? They ran into the streets and they witnessed. Number three, their power comes to us through the Holy Spirit. It said in the scripture, we said that God's power, His wisdom, His glory would be seen in us. And that's what happens. His power is exhibited in us. We begin to see miracles happen in our lives. What is holding the church back today, I believe, is because the church has become so concerned about themselves that they are watching daily to find out what to do next to survive. Instead of going to God and saying, God, what do you want me to do? I'm not saying there's one or the other, but what I'm saying is when we have dominated our lives with the world telling us what to do, we cannot have the Holy Spirit telling us what to do. Doesn't work that way. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit today. The church needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit. How? We need to pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit, number one. Number two, we need to spend time with God. Three, we need to read the Word of God, which is the power of the Holy Spirit. Number four, we need to surrender the parts of ourselves that have become enthralled with the world. And I had to do that. And let me just tell you what mine was. Football. And I'm confessing this. I was a football fanatic. I never missed a South Carolina football game. I would watch all kinds of football. I'd watch all the bowl games. I was so into football. Let me tell you something. I realized that was keeping me from God. Why? Because I was consumed with it. Anything you're consumed with, it's taking away a part of what God wants to do with you. I'm not saying that I can't go to a football game. I still do. I still watch one. But when it consumes me, then it has taken away part of me, and I need to surrender that to the Lord. Number five, stand in awe in His presence and worship Him. How many times have you just stood there and just worshiped God in the moment? I want to tell you, I worshiped God last night in Cracker Barrel. I'm going to tell you what happened. This was a God moment. This was a Holy Spirit-filled moment. We went to Cracker Barrel. And we sat down to eat. And, of course, everybody's separated from everybody. Well, here comes a family, and they had three little girls, and they were jumping up and down and having, you know. And the littlest was the cutest one. And Gail looked at me and she said, "Now that's the spark plug of the family right there." And as they came in and sat down, the lady, the mother, came over and handed us an a package with an envelope in it. And she said, "We go wherever we go, we give out gifts. And we wanted to give you this." And then she went to a couple other tables and then went and sat down. I opened the envelope, and in the envelope was a gift card from Cracker Barrel for $25. And Gail said, "We should be giving her. They've got three little girls. What?" And then in there, it had a little card. And the card, I want to read this to you. The card said this, which was very touching. "This act of kindness was done in memory of Margaret Rose Statler, 10/1/2016, born still, but stillborn." And then on the back it had more about how you can share your love with people. Well, we walked over to the table after we got through eating. We were a little overcome with this. And by the way, our ticket was $24.95. We walked over to the table and we said, "We just want to thank you." I said, "I'm a pastor. And I want you to know something. I'm putting you, the Slater family, on a prayer list. Where are you going?" And they said, "We're from Rhode Island. And we're going to Georgia to see my sister and her family, which we haven't seen in 2 years because of COVID." And I said, "Well, I know you're excited." She said, "Yes, we are." And she said, "But we drove 8 or 9 hours today. We've got 8 hours tomorrow to drive down to Georgia." And I said, "Well, you need our prayers." And she just looked up at me with tears in her eyes. She said, "That's the greatest gift you could give me. Because we survive on prayers. We went through a horrible experience in 2016. But then we had little Maggie here. And Maggie has had one heart surgery. She has another. If you would remember Maggie Slater in prayers. Because she has to have another heart surgery." And she just looked at her and she said, "Thank you so much." I mean, I'm sitting there going, I mean, this is nothing of that I did. This is, I mean, I'm going, what is this? Who are these people that does stuff like this? And then I read, and again, the law of action and reaction is prevalent here. I want to read what Laverne wrote after we talked about going yesterday, the Vos going to the life day. But she said this, "Something just dawned on me, and I don't know why I'm compelled to share it. When we in any way seize an opportunity to change someone's life, it's not just an opportunity, it's a reward. A reward for unshakable faith. We should all wake up every morning and simply hope to change someone's life." This is where I'm going. If we're being filled with the Holy Spirit, which is our call, we cannot help but spend time trying to help other people and get our minds off ourselves long enough to take care of other people. Now, this is a family that had three children on a trip, and this is a family that's got a lady in the hospital, yet they minister to other people in spite of that. Because within the ministry to other people, this is how we're blessed. God has called us as Christians to get out of our boxes and to go into the community and change lives. This is our call. We merely come on Sunday morning to re-energize and to refill with the Holy Spirit so we can go out and do what He wants us to do. This is not the act of God here. The act of God is when we go, ye therefore. I am so pleased that God chose the Slater family to come to me and touch me this week. God is calling us to do radical. By the way, she had to plan that stuff. She had to think about, how can I do this? She had to print up the cards. She had to do this, all this. When they're on a trip, when they're going places, when they're sitting there going, I'm on vacation. No, we don't take vacation as Christians. We go ye therefore every day of the week. This is our call. I encourage you to listen to what God is speaking this morning and to follow Him. Be ye filled with the Holy Spirit and then go. Father, I thank You for the words spoken by those who were given special revelation. I thank You for those that are listening to You to do the things that we need to do to touch people's lives. I pray and ask that we might start working towards the end of letting Your Holy Spirit fill us with God's love for all mankind, even people we don't know, that we might minister to them. The world would be changed one life at a time as You give them to us to share. Lead us in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You know,